Okay, welcome to Undressed, another episode. My name is Megan Collins. I run Style Girlfriend, if you don't know already. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Taylor Davies.
Hey, guys.
And Taylor, we have some really exciting news.
We sure do.
We do. We run this podcast off of Anchor. It's a new platform that is all about helping more people launch their podcasts. So if your mom has always wanted to do one, tell her to check out Anchor. I don't know what your family's into.
Yeah, maybe she wants to talk about books.
It's true. My point is, if you enjoy Style Girlfriend, and Undressed in particular, you can now support the show from anywhere in the U.S.
Woohoo!
So when you head to our profile on Anchor, which we'll add this to the show notes, so don't worry, we'll make it really easy, you can opt to make recurring monthly payments. Super simple. You can do 99 cents, you can do $4.99, or you can do $9.99. I recommend $9.99.
Me too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think they just go for it, right?
I think, you know, go big or go home when it comes to supporting your friends at Style Girlfriend and the Undressed podcast.
You can even pay with Apple Pay or Google Pay, neither of which I have, but my understanding is that makes life really simple. I think you just, like, hold your phone up to your computer and it scans it. Is that what? How it works, Taylor?
No, I don't think so, but I do believe it's simpler in a different way.
Okay, yeah. I'll trust you.
Yeah.
Well, signing up to support Undressed is super easy. It's fast. It's secure. Listeners just need to tap the listener support button. I think that's what it says on our Anchor profile. Enter your information and boom, you'll get an email confirming your level of support as well as our undying love and affection. I don't know if the undying love and affection is in the follow-up email, but just know that you have it.
Yeah. We're like a niche NPR, and how we stay alive is from support from listeners like you.
Thank you, Terry Gross. That was, wow. Mm-hmm. That was a compelling read.
Thank you.
I buy it. I'd pay for it.
I would too.
Okay. So thank you to anyone that goes and does that. Again, your support means a lot to us, and it really does help make it easier for us to do this. Right now, we're doing it without ads. So if you want us to keep doing it that way, this actually really puts us in a good position to keep it ad-free and make sure that your listening experience is a smooth, easy ride.
Yeah, totally.
So that's so funny. That brings me into the first thing that I just want to talk about with you this week, Taylor.
Okay, I'm ready.
So I read this book called The End of Advertising.
Ooh, okay.
It was actually written by this guy who I used to work with when I worked in advertising, and he's since gone on to a really interesting career. He worked for like the company that owns the Tribeca Film Festival, and now he's running started a new thing, and he's one of those people who, like, visionary is not a word I throw around easily, but he definitely sort of stays one step ahead of what's going on.
Oh, wow.
Okay. His name is Andrew Essex. Check him out if you're into that kind of thing. But he wrote this book called The End of Advertising, and he's basically making the point that advertising used to be about disruption. So it was like grabbing someone's attention when you didn't have it already. Like, that's like this tenet of advertising. It's like, yeah, you want to catch their attention. And he's basically saying that that's not how things work anymore. People don't want to be distracted. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be paying attention to one thing and then have someone be like, hey, over here. Hey, check this out.
Yep.
So the example that he used as sort of what advertising could become is City Bike. And for those of you guys who aren't in New York, City Bike is literally Citibank paid like millions and millions of dollars to put bikes all around the city that are at these docking stations, and you pay to use them. But it's like this good. It's this like function for the city where you can grab a bike, go dock it somewhere else. And you can get, like, a day pass, you can get a yearly subscription, and he's basically saying, like, the lift that Citibank got from doing that, because it brought goodwill into the city, like, it brought people to have a positive association with Citibank, especially at a time, like, after the financial crisis hated banks,
yeah,
all
exactly.
of them.
Yeah.
And then the other example he used that I thought was really interesting was the Lego movie, which is basically a, whatever, 90-minute ad for Legos.
So true.
That people paid to see. Like, so could you imagine someone paying to see, like, even, like, a Super Bowl commercial? Like those are the best of the year? I wouldn't pay to watch a Super Bowl commercial. So I just thought it was really interesting, and I'm super curious, like, what you think about that. Obviously, Style Girlfriend right now, like, we rely on ads on the site as part of our revenue stream to help us keep going. I'll be the first to admit, it's not ideal. We do branded content, which is like a fancier way of saying, I mean, it's still advertising, but we really make a point to ensure that whatever content is, like, whatever, sponsored, that it brings function to the user. So it's like a style guide, or it's a video on how to do something that you want to know how to do. And we happen to be wearing the brand that's sponsoring it, whatever it might be. Like, it's always, we make a point to have it be organic. But, like, what do you think about that? When was the last time that you saw something and were like, I'm going to check that out? Like, how do you get your brand recommendations?
You know, I think it's interesting. I think that it sounds like this book is dead on, because the way people consume content now, they don't, like, it's why streaming services are so successful. Nobody wants to deal with commercials anymore. And now that you have the option to opt out of commercials, watching regular TV feels like the most, like, grating experience in the world. Like, you don't want your, whatever you're trying to enjoy, to be interrupted. And it's the same with reading an article online and then having, like, a full banner ad kind of, like, unfold in the middle of the page. Or when you're scrolling through Twitter and then you see a, like, a promoted tweet for something that you don't care about and don't follow, you're just kind of like, this isn't what I'm asking for. And it's interesting because we've become so snobby about this stuff, and it's all laced throughout content that we're getting for free, at least with online content, right? Like, you, people can access Style Girlfriend for free. People can access a certain amount of content on New York Times for free, or a certain amount of anything on New York Magazine is free, for example. And then being annoyed when you have to, like, interact with advertisements and that stuff is sort of like, okay, yeah, but, like, you're getting all this stuff for free. So I think it's interesting that we are sort of rallying against something that's a little unfair. But I get most of my recommendations. I feel like I'm just, like, kind of a millennial in this way. Like, I'm, like, getting my news from Instagram. It's where I'm finding out about brands that I like especially. And my most, like, tangible story is that I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw on The Cut, this girl was wearing a t-shirt. And it was some girl who was, like, a fashion editor wearing a t-shirt that had a Nike swoosh on it. And underneath it said Gnocchi. And I was what?
Like the pasta?
Yeah, like the pasta. And I was like, I have to have this shirt. It is my personal brand. So I tapped on the image, saw that they had tagged who the editor was, tapped over to her profile, found the same picture in her profile, tapped on her photo. She tagged the brand. I tapped over to the brand's page, found their website, went onto the website on the computer with my phone open, and ordered the t-shirt and had paid and was done, honestly, in under a minute.
Wow.
And it wasn't advertising. It was just something that was recommended by someone who I found to be, like, I liked their style and, like, thought it was influential. She's not an, quote-unquote, influencer, but I was certainly influenced.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, on the one hand, Style Girlfriend was born from, here's some free content, here's some more free content, here's an unlimited amount of free content.
Yep.
And at some point, that's a business model that's not sustainable without advertising, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's branded content or whether that's display advertising. And so, like, the point that Essex is making in the book is, like, look, people, it's not going to go away, the need for people to buy things. And the advertising and marketing budgets are there. So where is that money going to go? And I think that the idea of wanting to make advertising less annoying is a good one. And it's good mm-hmm. to aspire to. And I, at this point, have kind of bought into the idea that even though I, like, don't even have Facebook on my phone anymore, like, I know that, you know, Mark Zuckerberg or whoever is following me around all the time. And so if I get served content or served display advertising that is going to be relevant to my interests, it doesn't bug me that much because, you know, it is probably something that I would end up searching for anyway. But yeah, to your point, it's like when the banner ad takes over the screen mm-hmm. or when it's for something that is not relevant to me, when it's like Home Depot advertising hammers and I never was looking for hammers. Like, that right. is weird to me. Like, if anything, I almost feel like Skynet has won. Like, at least give me relevant content. Like, if you're going to know everything about me, then at least serve me what makes sense for me. But
right. Well, and wasn't it so relevant when earlier today I showed you that in the middle of my Twitter feed was a gigantic advertisement for Velveeta shells and cheese when not but a week ago on this podcast, we said the word Velveeta out loud a million times. I never typed it into my computer. I've never searched for it in my phone. And yet, there it was on my Twitter.
There it was.
Because the microphones are on.
And honest to God, did that not look like the most delicious?
I got hungry.
Like, I want some macaroni and cheese now.
Yeah, you do. So that's targeted advertising doing its best, doing what it's supposed to do in 2018.
It is really interesting. Again, advertising's not going to go away. It is worth considering how advertising can become more functional mm-hmm. and more supportive of people's lives, like not just create goodwill because it was a fun commercial and it made you laugh or it made you smile, but because something good is actually happening because the brand put money towards it. So again, City Bike has helped millions of people get around the city in an affordable, safe way. And Essex makes the point of like, why not let big corporations sponsor a subway or sponsor, you know, like the ferry when the L goes down in next year, like sponsor the ferry and let people have free rides and, you know. I know.
And bringing up the subway is such a like touchy thing where I'm like, I don't care what they call the subway. If someone puts money into it to make it run better, I'm down. Like, you know how like, I feel like everybody felt a little sad when they started renaming every sports stadium after a company.
Right.
Like, and eventually we all got used to that. City Field, Safeco Field, like Petco Park, like everything except basically Wrigley and Fenway have been co-opted by a brand. And at first I was kind of like, that's stupid. And truly, if the subway has to be renamed like Subway's Subway and Subway the brand, like, fixes the subway.
The subway sandwich subway.
Subway sandwich subway. Or we call, like Elon Musk's magical tube ride. Like, ugh. I don't care. Like, if somebody can just dump a bunch of money in it to get it to run better, like, I'll call it whatever they want.
Yes. And I think that's what's interesting. Like, it's super easy to argue that paying for a baseball stadium has less worth than paying for a subway. Because people get mad about the idea of, I don't want to drive on a sponsored highway. Like, I would if it's paved well.
If it runs
and I don't
better.
Get a pot, yeah, like I don't pop a tire because of a pothole. Like, yeah, I will drive down the IKEA 405. That's fine by me.
I mean, I think that's where we're like, okay, like that's the price we have to pay. If our cities are getting built up, things are becoming problematic and brands are looking for new ways to like reach people and they have the money to spend that the government refuses to spend, you know, I'll do it. The Macy's tube ride to success is what we can call the subway.
I think that you need a job just naming things that are sponsored by other things. Yeah. I'm very into this.
Yeah, get at me, brands. I'm here for you. I'm affordable.
Yeah.
I'm pretty affordable. High end. Luxury.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? That's really interesting, actually, because speaking of private-public sector crossover.
Okay, yes, yes.
I got there. It's very hot.
And the transition
my words
has
come
been
slower.
Made.
But I knew where I was going. LeBron James, basketball player, have you heard of him?
I have, you know, can you believe it?
Okay. He just opened a school.
He did.
In Akron, Ohio, where he's from. Yeah. Even though he's a Laker now. What is it called? The I Believe School?
Uh-huh.
I Dream
I
School?
I promise.
And it's really interesting because it's not a charter school. Mm-hmm. We're not here to debate charter versus non-charter.
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, we don't need to get into a conversation about vouchers. But it's really interesting because it's basically, it's him and it's his foundation and then it's corporate sponsors and corporate backers that are supplementing this school, which is a public school. And if you are lucky enough to be in that district in Akron, you just won the lottery.
Right.
Without actually having to win a lottery because
and
it's not a charter school.
And are going to a very specific third or fourth grade.
Right. And it's going to be continuing to expand and like that's the plan for it. But it's really interesting because I feel like that's very much an example of what we were just talking about. Like, is it advertising for LeBron's charity? No, it's not. But it's something where brands get that halo effect of if they're involved, like, you know, they're going to promote the hell out of that. And they should, like, if they're helping to like buy these kids their bikes or pay for their college tuition, like, why would you not want to get involved there? And I just think it's so interesting that, again, there's ways of doing quote unquote advertising where it looks more like corporate social responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems like as good of any good as any of a template.
Right. Like, it'll be interesting to see, like, which are the colleges that are linked up to, you know, do this free tuition thing that's coming for those students and like who will make the bikes that all these kids are getting. And like, I think it'll be really interesting to see which companies and which institutions kind of step up to like do this good thing, but also get the exposure.
Right. And who poo-poos the fact that, you know, again, if it's like a Trek bike, like, are people going to be like, eh, Trek, like you shouldn't be shouting this from the rooftops when they should. Like, why not? Like, why not let people know that you're doing good with the money that you have otherwise allocated to a podcast advertisement?
Oh, or right. To, like, you feel know? Like it would be, like, too braggy for them to, if they did? Like, do you think some people would see it as bragging? Or like,
I think they would. And I guess I just feel like, but they're still doing a really good thing.
Yeah. I know, and I think that it's sort of hard to get around it when you're a company and you're doing something like that. I think you do need to let people know, because I think it will influence people in a positive way. So it's not so much bragging, it's advertising.
Right. And at least they're advertising that they're doing something good rather than just sort of putting noise out into the world.
Exactly.
Which is what so much advertising becomes.
Yeah, totally.
You know what's really interesting, though, is I knew that that school was, whatever, getting built, that it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what the place that I first saw the news about it, like, of the day?
No. Tell me.
A little website called Vogue.com.
Interesting.
Yes, because they were like, oh my god, LeBron is still wearing Tom Brown. Look at him at the opening of this school. And it was cool because I was just like, yes, like, let's talk about LeBron still wearing Tom Brown. Because I am here for it. And I just think it's interesting, too, like, that so many different types of people are going to know about this story because there's so many different angles to talk about it from.
So many different angles, yes.
Like, businesses exactly. are talking about it, not, you know, the public sector is talking about it. Fashion sites are talking about mm-hmm. it. Like, that's so cool. And it's
and sports, of course.
And sports, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just really so interesting.
It's multifaceted, far-reaching news, which is, I mean, truly so smart.
So smart.
He seems like he's got smarts.
God, we're, like, getting political over and over and over again, but, like, just not quite.
Hey, you know, I think that's the story of the world today, is that you can't have any conversation without sort of, like, dipping a pinky toe into the pool of politics.
You know what, Taylor? You're so right, and we're just going to jump right into hot takes,
okay,
because that's,
great.
Like, what I want to talk about today.
Do it, Megan.
I'm going to.
Take us there.
So on Instagram this week, by the way, we're verified now.
If anybody, my God, that blue check.
If you were wondering if we're really the Style Girlfriend, the Style Girlfriend University, we are.
So official.
I know. On Instagram this week, we put up a picture that former Vice President Joe Biden had posted to, like, Twitter the day of former President Barack Obama's birthday. And it was just like, happy birthday, buddy. You're a big effing deal. Whatever he said.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. But they looked adorable. They looked like...
When they were young ones?
They looked like when your friends call you or, like, FaceTime you. Like, they're together and they're, like, been out drinking. And they're like, hey, we wish you were here. We're having so much fun. Like, that's what it looked like. It's just a great picture. They looked really happy.
Yeah.
And so we put it up. And we said something about, pro tip, like, you can't get the Sunday scaries if you don't have a job to go to tomorrow. Because we put it up on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And most people were just like, double tap, like it, whatever. And one user, commented, quote unquote, some of us are glad they don't have a job anymore. And then put that emoji face where it looks kind of like, ooh.
Yeah, like all the teeth, like kind of like
a straight ooh. Across teeth
yeah.
face.
Yep, yeah, like sort of like, ooh.
And I went to, and he was the only one who said anything like that, and it was just a very passive-aggressive way to kind of, like, throw a grenade into the comments and then just kind of back away, like, I'm just saying, you know, like, it was just, right. It wasn't really standing up for anything in particular, and mm-hmm. who knows, maybe he was, like, a Ted Cruz supporter in the last election, like, I don't know where this guy's head is at, but I did click through to his profile, and, like, literally his bio just said something about Rick and Morty, and I was just like, okay,
mm-hmm.
this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not to get political and not to say I can't get political. I can get political if I want. And this is my website. And
you sure can.
And and it's not a democracy on Style Girlfriend. It's not in America probably for much longer either. But
it's a girlfriendocracy.
Right. It's a girlfriendocracy. And I'm not here to tell you how to vote. I'm not here to tell you how to think about policy. But I guess I just want to say to this guy and to guys out there like him that maybe have similar viewpoints,
mm-hmm.
I just want to say that it's problematic to say or to suggest that we were worse off under that administration. And when you do so, when you make that suggestion, I don't want you to be surprised when women are turned off by that sentiment. Like, if you are coming to Style Girlfriend, probably 75% of it is because you want to, like, learn how to wear chinos or figure out which pattern blazer to buy. But I really believe that a lot of guys are also here for our POV in terms of just what women want to see in a man and how they want to interact with men. Mm-hmm. And so, well, I'm not going to dictate your political beliefs, but showing even like side door support for an administration that pledges support for women, but then actively undermines them at every turn. And like the head of which openly belittles and disrespects women's and women's rights. Like, if you're going to be public in your support of an administration like that, and again, even a side door support, even just saying, I don't support the people that came before this, we're living in a really unique time that sort of de facto means that you do support this administration. Yeah. And there's a lot of women who feel scared right now that the people in charge don't see them as equal, don't see their rights as important, don't see them as anything more than sex objects. And so, again, not saying that you can't support who you support, but throwing in a weird passive-aggressive aside, like, it's just not going to necessarily do you any favors if you are, again, looking to date, if you are, like, quote-unquote, out there. And I don't really know what to tell you to do with that, but, like, I think it's worth taking some time to have some introspection about, like, why do I support this type of person, and can I put myself in the shoes of a woman who might hear me say that, and what would she think about it?
Right. Well, and I think it's interesting, too, because I feel like, right, we're not here to tell people what their politics should or shouldn't be. And I think that what's just so interesting about right now is that it's not, you can't come at this being like, okay, but like my political beliefs lean Republican, so this is where I have to stand. Even senators and congressmen and people in office right now who are, you know, card-carrying Republicans are having to back away from who the top people in our administration are and what they're doing because their beliefs don't align with those people. So I feel like if you're out there with like a Republican POV, like that's your deal. But I think what you're saying is that like, okay, but if that goes a step further to be like you are aligning with the people who are in charge right now with what their specific policies are, like what his policies are, that's when you need to be like, okay, like I need to check what I actually think about women and what I actually think about how I want to represent myself.
Yes. And I say time and time again, if we were living with a President Kasich, it would be a different story. But I think right now the Republican Party is so closely tied, whether they like it or not, with the president. And the president holds views that are, like you said, not necessarily aligned with what a traditional Republican or a traditional conservative believes. Sure. And not just believes, but acts on.
Acts on, yeah. Votes on, creates policy.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Tweets about.
yeah, tweets. They're important.
And so this is me not getting political, simply offering dating advice.
Yes, it's dating advice.
And that's my hot take. I just, again, I think it's worth taking time to step back and really, again, put yourself in women's shoes in that way that is, like, annoying how men are like, well, now that I have a daughter,
yeah,
do blah, blah, blah.
I mean, come on.
Just do it, like, just be thinking about that more often. Like, don't wait until you have a daughter to start thinking, like, wondering if women should be equal to men. Maybe just don't.
I know. It's very interesting how easy it is to not consider the problems of others when they're not your problems. And I think that that's going to be the big thing that men have to reckon with. Like, white men are a minority in this country, but they have all the power, but that's changing. And I mean, slowly but surely. And like, you need to like get in the trenches of understanding what it's like to be someone other than yourself.
And I understand that equality feels like loss when you are the person and the group that has been in power. And I feel for you, right? Like, I can understand how that feels. That's like a tectonic shift in the culture. And that can feel scary and that can feel, quote unquote, unfair. But like you said, slowly but surely it's happening. So try to get on board in a way that feels authentic to you, right? Like,
yeah.
Do what you need to do to do the, like, do the work of evolving.
Yeah. Like, and it's okay to not be there now, and, like, the work can start any time, and improvements can happen slowly, and, like, it's never not the right time to sort of, like, work on yourself and, like, change, right? I feel like we have this sort of culture right now where it's, like, you make one bad statement and one misstep, and you're kind of branded as awful, And I think that people need to be called out for the things that they do are wrong, but they also, like, if we don't have any room for evolution and forgiveness, then, like, we're not really going to evolve to a better place, I think, as a whole, right? So, like, if you've, like, misstepped, if you're that bozo on The Bachelorette who was, like, liking, like, racist things on Instagram, like...
Didn't he just get picked?
He won. So... get your shit together. He gave, like, a medium okay apology. I don't know why I was, like, looking into this today, because The Bachelorette just ended and I didn't watch a single thing, but I wanted to read, like, what the cut had to say about it.
Sure.
But, like, the problematic guy is the guy who won, and, but I feel like the thing is, okay, so he, like, did these things, like, you're problematic, yes, and you need to be like, okay, yes, I'm problematic, but also go forward, be better, change, like, and people will accept you and welcome that change, and, like, if you're a private person, that's even easier to do, right? Like, if you're not, like, a public-facing person. So, I don't know. Like, you can course correct.
Right. And to just be open to the idea that course correction is needed, I think, is the first step.
Oh, well, yes. Yeah. And if you're not sure, ask us. Ask any woman. Ask any person.
We are happy to let you know.
Yep, we're here for you.
So, Taylor, what's your hot take?
Well, my hot take is... somewhat related, because how you were saying that the guy who left that comment on your Instagram had a Rick and Morty reference in his profile. My hot take is, what the fuck is Rick and Morty? That is my take.
Is it? Because do you actually want to know the answer to that question?
I guess maybe I want the TLDR of what it is. I understand that it is a cartoon for adults.
Sure.
I understand.
That's about where my knowledge ends as well.
Yeah, one of the characters is maybe a scientist, has crazy hair. Here's what I know. I know nothing about this show, but people are talking about it, and people are writing think pieces about it, and, like, this and that and the other thing. And what I'm getting the impression from, like, as I've said time and time again, my feed is your feed, and so when you interact with certain things, they just show up on my Twitter feed, and then I think they're either my thoughts or my feelings or, like, something that's happening, but they're yours. So, you would put up something about, don't talk to me about Rick and Morty on dates. I guess it represents, like, a certain type of person, I think mostly men, who watch the show and engage with it. And I guess it seems like I probably don't want to know those men, and I'm not going to like this show. And my hot take is, don't talk about Rick and Morty, because I'm not ever going to watch it, and I'm not ever going to care, and I'm happy about that.
So, I asked some friends who sort of know pop culture maybe better than me. They all basically said the same thing, which is, it's a very good show. The fans ruin it. Like, the fans are are obnoxious. Like, I'm pretty sure a group of Rick and Morty fans is called like, it's just, that's the guy. That's the guy who not only watches Rick and Morty, but, like, talks about it.
Yikes. And it's like a smart show, right? It's like a smart...
Yeah.
There's like a lot of references and stuff like that.
Right. Like, remember the comic book guy from The Simpsons? Like, I feel like he would love Rick and Morty.
Sure. Yeah. Or, like, people who think they know a lot about, like, Westworld.
Yes. And get onto Reddit threads to, like, discuss.
Reddit. I feel like Reddit and Rick and Morty are the same thing.
It might be. Like, maybe if you interchange the letters, it's like right. An anagram.
I need to tell you something else, which is that I believe I read a statistic the other day that Reddit is, like, the third most popular website, like,
yeah.
Ever?
Yeah, they call it, like, the homepage of the internet. Like, that's, or, like, the front page of the internet.
Megan, I have literally never read anything on Reddit.
It's a scary place, Taylor.
How is it possible that something that is that popular is so far outside of my worldview that I don't even really understand, like, what it is or how to use it? I understand that it's threads. I understand that it's groups. But that's kind of where the story ends for me. I don't know.
I wonder if you broke down, I mean... by demographics, I would imagine it's obviously overwhelmingly a male audience. Yeah. But I also just wonder, on the internet, is, like, the internet more men? Is that why Reddit is so well traveled? Like, is that
part of it? I don't know, because I feel like there are so many more, like, female-focused voices out there. But that's what I'm reading, because I'm
right.
A woman.
But it is wild, like, when I ask people, like, I don't really know people who are big Reddit users, but I also wonder if it's one of those things kind of like supporting this president where you don't talk about it if you know well enough to kind of be like, if you're not to, like, know not to talk about it with, quote-unquote, outsiders, you know? Like, I wonder if, like, secretly, like, you know, our friend Steve is actually on Reddit 4 hours a day, and, you know?
Yeah, like, in some sort of thread talking about...
Like a subreddit.
A subreddit. What? I don't understand. I don't even know what a subreddit is, Megan.
I'm probably not even saying it right, Taylor.
Oh, my God. Okay, but then also, what's 4chan?
Ugh.
What's that?
4chan is, like, a subreddit of Reddit.
It is?
I mean, no, but it's, like, that kind of thing where it's, like, you're deep into the internet.
Oh, boy.
It's, yeah. It's, like, a block away from the dark web.
Ooh, interesting.
It's just people being trolls. It's, like, a place where trolls go to be trolls.
Okay. And so I don't need to go there.
Don't go there.
Okay.
Don't go there. Don't watch Rick and Morty.
Stay out of the dark web.
Stay out of the dark web. And go support the Undressed Podcast on the normal regular web on Anchor.
Yeah, the regular web.
Anchor.fm.
99 cents a month, you guys. Come on.
Yes.
I bet you can set it to autopay. Set it and forget it. You're sending 99 cents. It's like that thing where you roll over your change from a purchase into a savings account. And you don't even know you're doing it. Except that you're rolling over 99 cents to style girlfriend. And you can set it and forget it. And you won't be thinking about it. But we will be thinking about it deeply. And we'll be so grateful.
You know what? I think you sold it. That is some good advertising.
That's me. This is native advertising. This is Style Girlfriend. You're welcome.
And that's it for us. All right, guys. I'm Megan Collins, Style Girlfriend. I'm here, as always, with Taylor Davies saying thank you guys so much for supporting us, both emotionally and monetarily now.
Oh, I love that. It's so endearing.
Monetary support? Yeah, it is very endearing. Okay, bye guys.
Bye.